Shall we turn in our Bibles now to Mark chapter 14? Mark chapter 14, we're reading together verses 27 through 31. Mark 14, 27 through 31. We'll read together. Let's begin. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. It is easy to abandon the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Peter and the disciples were nourished by 3.5 years of faithful teaching. So their faith was strengthened. More recently, they were nourished by the Lord's Supper. So their faith was strengthened even more. But there was a problem. They were arrogant. Yes, even those in church, in good standing and close to Christ, can become arrogant. Anyone can fall. You can fall. I can fall. Hear today how the disciples fell. And our headings are four: the declaration, "You will abandon me." The defiance, "I will remain faithful." Third, the declaration, "You will abandon me." Four, the defiance, "I will remain faithful." And our goals are that you will guard your hearts even as you're regularly nourished by the word and sacrament, so you won't abandon serving the Lord. First, the declaration by the Lord, "You will abandon me." Jesus declared that all his disciples would abandon him because of the hardships he was about to face. And the word "stumble" in verse 27 is the root word for scandal, scandalizo. And what a scandal it would be. The disciples left their Lord, who had loved them so much, who had taught them faithfully for 3.5 years, who had provided for them for such a long time. And indeed, it was scandalous that they would leave him. Maybe they thought, well, Judas was the worst. After all, he was the one who left after the Passover to betray Jesus, and they had stayed with him. They thought he was worse, but they were not very far behind. Now, what would be that hardship that Jesus would face that would cause his disciples to abandon him? Well, the Lord Jesus would be struck. That's the language in verse 27. He would be struck. That refers to his torturing and his killing. So the disciples would flee. Now, important that you get this. You see, Jesus quoted from the Old Testament and said, this is what God ordained. The Jews and the Romans would torture and kill him. And also, God ordained that the disciples would flee. That's what was said many years before. But don't confuse that with responsibility. The Jews and the Romans would kill Jesus of their own will. And the disciples would flee, not because God ordained that, though that's the overall picture, but they would flee of their own free will. Responsibility is not negated because God ordains everything. Sovereignty and responsibility work together. How they exactly work together, we can't fully explain. But you are responsible for everything you do. You know what was sad here is that the disciples would think that they were safer the further they were from Jesus. That's what the devil attempted them to think, that they would be safer the further they were from Jesus. Now, even with knowing that his disciples would abandon him, and he said so, Jesus told his disciples that after he was killed and buried and resurrected from the dead, that he would meet them in Galilee. Now, that's love. That's love. You know, most people would say, I remember what you did to me. I remember when you didn't help me. Remember when you abandoned me. And he said, you know, when I'm raised up from dead, I'll meet you in Galilee. In spite of their failures, he would go there. He would go to Galilee and reconstitute his flock, his church, and gather his needy ones, his children, together. Look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Together. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn to the little ones. That's the part that was there that is often ignored. The Lord will turn again to his little ones. And Jesus even instructed Peter to feed his lambs after he came back and repented of his sin. You read about that in John 21. What amazing love that the Lord will still want to meet with these who had abandoned him. And what an encouragement this must have been to the disciples later, that Jesus would meet with them and he would forgive them even though they had abandoned him. A question that comes up, though, before we move on, is why would Jesus want to meet them in Galilee? After all, he was being killed just outside of Jerusalem. Well, he would meet with them in Galilee because it was a much safer place to meet. There were very little threats from the Jewish leadership. They saw Galilee as the backward place, that nothing particularly good happens there. So the Lord's declaration, what lessons can we learn? First of all, you will always have temptations in your Christian life, and many of them might unexpectedly appear. And this is a more general application. Some will come when you're sick, when you're unemployed, when you're lonely, when you're frustrated, and you'll be tempted to abandon serving the Lord. And in fact, you will abandon serving the Lord for a time. Everyone does. Satan is always busy. And by the way, those who tell you that the Christian life is always easy are really lying to you. Christian life is hard. You'll be tempted to abandon serving the Lord and will do so sometimes. The issue then is, how do you face this? In order to face these temptations and come out and be bold and strong, you must constantly strengthen yourself with the word, the sacrament, and prayer. Those who get themselves in a bind, almost always you find that they are not spending time in the Word, they're not feasting at the sacraments, they're not praying as they should. And that's the time when you need to pray more and read the Word more and be at the sacraments more. That's how you're able to face these temptations. That's how they would have been able to face the temptations to abandon Jesus. They were weak, and so they left. Second, God's foreordination of events, the prophecy that the disciples would abandon Jesus, did not negate the disciples' responsibility, their guilt for abandoning the Lord. So never use God's providence as an excuse for failing to do your duty. You know, someone might say, well, God ordains everything, including my adultery. Therefore, I'm not really that bad. It's sort of God's fault. No. God ordains everything that happens, but you are 100% responsible for what you do. for every single sin. Third, Jesus took your sins of abandoning him and complaining about your hard life and giving in to temptations. He took all your sins, for that matter, when he died on the cross. And he's the one alone who strengthens you to face the difficulties in your life. This is the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. That's why the disciples were able to come back. Abandoning Jesus would be enough to condemn them to hell. But Jesus even took those sins. And that's what he pleaded before his Father and said, Father, I know they abandoned me, but I didn't abandon you. I know they should have been put to death because of their sin of abandoning me, but I took death for them. That's the beauty of the work of the Lord. But look at the response then, the defiance. I will remain faithful. Peter said, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. This was arrogance. He arrogantly doubted Jesus' words. Why did he do this? Well, Peter had great confidence in himself, in his own ability. In Luke's account, in Luke 22, you will see that Peter's confession flowed from a discussion about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And Peter must have said, you know, I know it's James and John talking about who will be in the left and right and their mother and all. And he's thinking now, I'm the one. I should be there. The craving for glory caused him to ignore the scriptures. And he ended up having a magnified view of himself. He had forgotten to be humble and to wash his fellow disciples, his brother's feet. The scriptures he heard, but it didn't sink in. Or he blocked it out. He knew better. He saw the Lord who had said, you want to be the greatest, be the servant of all. But he thought, not me. I'm the greatest one. I will not stumble. And in fact, you see, Peter contrasted himself as being better than the others. He was saying, I am greater. The other disciples might fail you, but I won't. And what's kind of interesting is the Greek word for I is ego. He had a lot of that. He surely thought highly of himself. This is the same German word we say, ich. It's from ego, same word. But look at how Solomon describes the one who thinks too much of himself. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, together, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. You think too much of yourself, you're a fool. It means you don't think enough about God. You're acting as an atheist. So what lessons can we learn then from the defiance of Peter? If you think you are spiritually stronger than you are, you will be prone to become intoxicated with human strength and abilities. Let me repeat that. If you think you're spiritually stronger than you are, you will be prone to become intoxicated with human strength and abilities. But the truth is, it's only the drunk man who thinks he can fight a lion. The drunk man thinks he's stronger and braver than he is. But he really isn't. When pressure comes, you will run away from your duties. That's why the Bible teaches us to put ego to death. Don't have confidence in yourself in spiritual matters. Call upon God to strengthen you. Realize how low you are and how you need his strength to be bold, to fight against the lion. How can you put that ego to death? Well, you need to nourish your soul regularly with the message of Jesus Christ, his word and his sacraments, so you will be strong to face temptation. Remember when Jesus was tempted? He didn't go back and he showed us how we should deal with temptation. Every time the devil tempted him, he quoted the scriptures. He knew the word of God and was able to use that to protect himself from the devil. So nourish yourself with the word of God, and then pray for humility and for dependence on Christ for you and your brothers. You see, the more you read the word, you will see what your needs are. You will pray for help, and God will humble you. So let the word and the sacraments penetrate your soul, not just stay in your head. You will see your sin, and you will see God's love. That will make you spiritually strong when you are tempted. And when you are strong spiritually, through the means given by God, not by your ego and thinking how special you are, but understanding what Jesus has done for you, then you won't run from your duties. You will risk your life for your country, for your wife, for your children. You'll be ready to die for Jesus Christ. You will take insults for speaking for Jesus, because you are truly strong on the inside. If it's ego and someone insults your ego, watch how people overreact. But then the Lord responded to Peter, and our third point, he declared, you will abandon me. Even though Peter was defiant, the Lord knew his weakness and declared with absolute confidence that Peter would not only betray him once, but three times. The Lord knew that Peter's arrogance was going to catch up with him. Yes, Peter thought he was better than the other disciples, but he would find out that he was one of the worst. And the Lord then said with certainty that before the rooster crowed twice, Peter would deny him three times. Now, if you know your Bible well, you know there's a variant in the text here. Matthew says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Mark says, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And people say, aha, how can we reconcile this? Is there error in the Bible? Not at all. The Palestinian rooster crowed twice. And if you live where chickens are, you know that there are certain times when the roosters would crow. But these would crow at midnight, and then they would crow again just before daybreak. This episode was taking place just after midnight. It was late. So how do we reconcile the two? Well, Matthew was pointing to the second time the rooster crowed. Remember, it was after midnight. So Matthew was saying, in essence, before the rooster crows, just before the day break, you will deny me three times. Mark was including the first and the second crowing of the rooster, the one that was at midnight and the one that was at dawn. And in fact, the word translated twice should simply be translated again. So if you read it this way, and that's the meaning, the principal meaning of the word, you would say, before the rooster crows again, you will deny me three times. So there's nothing inconsistent with the text. Matthew was saying the same thing, that before daybreak, you will deny me three times. That's what Mark was saying as well. Mark was just saying, before the rooster crowed the second time, or again, you will deny me three times. Now, imagine the Lord saying, Peter, you don't know what you're talking about. In fact, you'll deny me three times tonight in a few hours. But Peter, terrible as he was not without hope. And again, you see this remarkable thing of God. In fact, there was much grace from the Lord Jesus to him. Look at Luke's account here in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32 together. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Imagine praying for someone who would betray you or deny you three times in a few hours. Would you want to be associated with such a person? Well, the Lord did. And in fact, the Lord said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wanted to show Peter and made him think that he was like chaff. But Christ would support him and save him. The agitation of the wheat kernel would let loose chaff that is attached to the grain, and that would blow away. The grain then becomes cleaner and purer. The devil is trying to treat Peter like chaff, and Jesus is saying, no, you're not chaff, you're solid grain, and I will take care of you. And isn't it amazing that these same disciples, who all ran away from Jesus when he was about to be killed, that he would strengthen all of them to be bold and brave, that they would all die for him. Even John died in prison for the sake of the gospel. And as far as we know, all of them were killed. They bravely stood up for Jesus Christ because he strengthened them. He didn't abandon them and say, you're not good. I'm picking new ones. I'll go over and get some of those Syrians because you Jews, you're not particularly good. No, he'd never abandon them. And there's some good lessons here for us. First of all, know that it is easy to be bold when there is safety and no danger. But don't gauge your strength based on how you feel in times of ease. True strength to stand up as a faithful Christian is measured by how you do under difficult circumstances. When you have that broken relationship, when there's divorce and when there's death of a loved one, when you lose your job, when you're sick, that's when you know how strong you are. Talk is cheap and people like to feel strong, but that's when true strength is measured. That's why you want to be strong. Second, God ordains sifting in your life. Hard times show how much you need Christ. And even in your sifting, the Lord Jesus continues to daily pray for you. He never stops. Be encouraged. Yeah, he allows you to go through some of these things, these broken relationships and divorce and death and loss of job and sickness. Maybe even failed exams. Whatever the Lord causes to come across your path, that's just part of your sifting. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. He doesn't give up on you. And you surely should not give up on him. And third, don't let your past failings keep you trapped as if God doesn't forgive. You see, ego will say, I failed. I'm no good. You beat yourself up because you think it's about you. But don't let your past failings keep you trapped as if God doesn't forgive. Ask God for the grace to get up. You may have failed as a husband or as a wife or as a child or father or mother or elder or deacon or friend. It doesn't matter. Get up. Repent. Live. Be willing to die if God calls you. But live for the glory of the Savior. He will meet you in heaven. Ask him for grace to begin anew, to begin afresh, and he will help you. He did these disciples that they were ready to die. So you struggle with being mocked. Someone would mock you for being a Christian. I mean, now you talk about God creating the world in 6 days and you're looked upon as an idiot. That's how the world sees you. Don't let that bother you. You know the truth. Them bullying or trying to bully you does not take away what truth is. Look at Peter's final response or second response. The defiance for the second time, I will remain faithful. That's verse 31. He spoke more vehemently. Instead of asking for the Lord for strength that he would not abandon him, Peter stunningly became more defiant, arrogantly declaring that he would not deny the Lord. If Peter had listened to and believed the word of Christ, and he let it sink in, he would not have made such a defiant statement. And if he realized his spiritual weakness, he would not have said that the God of glory was wrong. That's what he's saying here. The Lord says, you will deny me three times tonight. And he said, no, I won't. You don't know what you're talking about. He should have pleaded for strength from the Lord to remain faithful. And he should have trusted the word of the Lord. But ego was a monster that took hold of him. And to emphasize the defiance of Jesus' words, he said more than that. He said, I would rather go to prison or die than deny Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 33, that has a little bit more detail here. Together. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. How long did it take for him to break this promise? A few minutes. What should he have done? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He needed God's help to be able to stand up boldly, and he needed to work out his salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, do things to assure yourself that you belong to Jesus Christ. Instead, he thought about who he was and how wonderful he was and how strong he was. But let's learn to call upon God for help, for he is the one who helps us to do good. But it wasn't just Peter who said this. All the other disciples said the same thing. They all swore to never abandon Jesus. And the other disciples were simply playing follow the leader. That might be fun when you're kids, but not when you are leaders in the church. So Peter should not be the only one getting the bad rap here. There's a warning, though, for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, together. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And they all fell that night. They were deferring to the de facto leader, and that was dangerous. Peter made them ignore the words of Jesus. You know, something that's happening I was talking to a few people recently about James McDonald, who started the Harvest Churches and was put out of his church recently. And many, at least a number of them, are now looking to change their names. When you're identifying your church based on a particular man, he has so much influence, you see the harm that comes. Following the leader is not... You follow godly leaders, but you don't exalt them and do whatever they say. Look at the lessons there. Just blindly following men, even preachers, is not a healthy thing. Don't blindly say the same thing because the pastor says it. Make sure it is true. Examine the scriptures yourself. Don't do the same thing the pastor does blindly. Examine the scriptures yourself. We may make errors. And the disciples should have been able to say, wait a minute, Peter, you are saying that, but that's not what Jesus said to us. He said we will abandon him. We need to pray that we won't abandon him. But they instead said, no, we won't abandon you either. And there's another lesson. Don't be presumptive or arrogant about your children, thinking that they will be strong because they have some knowledge of the Bible. Maybe you've catechized them. And they have been baptized. Don't think that is the end. You have to constantly feed them the word of God and the message of the glorious cross. Introduce them to the Lord's Supper. Pray for them that they would not abandon the faith that God gives to them. and that the message of the cross might sink into their souls. Pray, the word, the sacrament. Pray that the word and sacrament sinks into their souls. See, the cross is what will humble them, and ultimately it's the cross that will make them bold. If they say, I'm from an educated church, we're reformed, we're special, how will they handle that when they're tempted to sin against God? When they're faced with the position of adultery or stealing or cheating on a test, what is it that they will reflect on? If they reflect on, well, we are smarter than other people, they will think, how can we get away with it? But when you think of the cross, when that's fresh in their minds regularly, that's when they will hold on to truth and say no to sin. That's what God expects. Let's conclude. Peter and the disciples were nourished by the Lord physically and spiritually by the word and sacrament. But the knowledge was only in their heads. Their faith was weak. They convinced themselves that they would never leave Jesus. So they became defiant, even calling Jesus a liar in practice. Well, we know what happened soon. They all abandoned him, even denying him. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Jesus had to go to the cross in order to save those who were in darkness. The cross showed Christ's love, and the cross showed you your needs. When this sinks in, when this reaches your soul, this will embolden you to speak for Christ and even to suffer for him. And the more you are nourished by Christ's word and sacrament and reminded of his love and his promises, the bolder you will be for Christ. That's why we come to church every week. We have two services, and we challenge you to study the word of God every week. That's why we meet for prayer, and we send out the prayer list that you pray for each other. Because the more this happens, the stronger you will be. And if you find yourself struggling to stand up and speak for Christ, like if you feel uncomfortable telling your friends how to find salvation in Jesus Christ, you need to check and see if you are abandoning the word, the message of the cross. And ask Jesus to let his word sink into your souls so you can become bold again. And finally, if you are not for Christ, you are against him. And God threatened judgment on those against his son. This judgment may come sooner than you think. The only thing that will save you is to have his anger assuaged. And the only thing that can assuage or calm God's anger is that you plead that your wrongs have been fully paid for by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us today how we need to be bold, and how we are enabled to be bold so we don't abandon you as the disciples did. Yeah, we confess that we have abandoned you many times in the past, or we've been tempted to abandon you at other times. Well, let your word and your sacrament sink in. And we pray that you would work through your word and sacrament by your Holy Spirit to stimulate us to submission to you, the message of the cross, so we can be bold in the face of temptations to abandon you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.